Thank the Lord we're able to be here again this morning. I ask that you'll pray for the word of the Lord today. Pray that the Lord will anoint His word with a special blessing to our soul today. I'd like to write something on the board. Written on the board is the way. The way. You know, this summertime, we kind of traveled around. Some of you have been to Oregon. Some have been to La Ronja. Some have been to other places, West Virginia. As we go to our places that we want to go to, there is a way that we go. Back when I was younger, we used to have what they called an atlas. I don't even know if they sell those things anymore because we have cell phones. You said they still sell them? I don't know. You still use an atlas. Okay. Not many people hardly know how to read those anymore. But the atlas or the map, road map, it will show you the way. It designates it. Sometimes you can take options. You can choose in that. There's different ways that end where you're going to, but some of them are a lot farther out of the way. You can add miles and unnecessary side trips to it. But there is generally one way that's most direct and most profitable to use. The Bible talks about a way also. There is, in one of the scriptures, it says there is a way that seems right unto a man. But the end is not good. So I would like to talk about the way this morning. I would think about the way that we live here today. We have in the scripture, we're talking about the Christian way. And it wasn't earlier on, it wasn't really called, we weren't called Christians, we were called people of the way. And I'm not here trying to start a new trend in the way we talk about ourselves. Oh, we're Christians. That's who we are. But we're people of the way. We're people who walk in a specific direction. Not interested in taking detours so much here in this life, not one that we know about anyway. Sometimes we do find ourselves perhaps a little bit on a bypath without hardly recognizing it. And the mercy of the Lord will awaken us to that place. And if that's the time to turn around and get back on the way. Because there is one way. Godly conduct has always been part of the marker of God's people. Clear back in the Old Testament time. A lot of times in our mind, we'll pick up history when Moses, the law was delivered to him on Mount Sinai. We kind of pick up godly history from there, but actually it predated that. Abraham, Noah, Job, Enoch, many others back then who walked with God. They had hold of something. They walked with God. They went in His way. They walked with God. That terminology has to do with expressing a direction that we're going. We know the term toward, don't we? I haven't really studied it so good, so I'm not going to say this is what it really means. You ever heard of toward? Go toward? I don't want to conflate those exactly in your mind. But the way you're pointed in your feet, that's pretty well where you're going to go. Where are you going to go? So I want to think about that today. The way and godly conduct, again, I believe it's been associated with God's people, those who followed the Lord throughout history, not just since Mount Sinai and Moses. But Jesus, when He came here, I believe that He was the full bloom, the full expression, the the culmination with the flower on top. What all the law and the prophets was pointing toward, that's what we find in Christ Jesus. He was that. And he said when he was here, and I'm going to read this, going to quote part of it anyway, John 14 and 6, part of this verse says, I am the way. Sometimes I think we can kind of pass over that, but we recognize it and we think in our minds that we know that scripture and its truth and what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He portrayed himself, he proclaimed himself as being the way. Well, that has definition. I don't think today that we can get a atlas. What, Rand McNally used to be anyone who printed, was a company that printed a road atlas. I don't think you can buy a Rand McNally that shows you the way of Christ today. We do have a Bible. We also have not only a Bible, but we have a door that is in Jesus Christ, and we can come through that door and have a relationship with Christ and begin to know the way for ourselves. I appreciate this Bible. Appreciate the word that we have here before us that we can all read. It's of great importance to us, and I encourage us to seek the way of the Lord as we read the Scripture. But I want to tell you what the Lord really wants to do. He wants to, each one of us individually, He wants to show His way to you and I individually in life. He wants to confirm that to us. It's good to have the Bible. It's also good to have people who will proclaim the Word. It's good for the ministers of the gospel to be able to come up and perhaps be specific about some things and in periods of time that would say, be cautious here, saints, about some of these things. Watch what you're doing. Be cautious, because we see the spirit of the world working in some of these things that's going on out in society. And so it's proper for us to give caution and to recognize those things. But be careful that we don't get hung up on something, some individual thing. Keep your eyes on the way. Let me demonstrate a little bit of that to you. There was a time when in fairly distant past. You ever heard people talk about white-walled tires? It's been preached against. Do you know anybody has a white-walled tire on today? Nobody. What? Yes. Nobody cares anymore. I think you can special order them for certain applications. But I want to notice the difference here. We can stand up here today and say, saints have always taught against white wall tires. And we've lost sight of the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can get very specific and say, my mother, it was very important to her that we don't wear bobby socks. You heard that? Folks, there was legitimacy behind some of the caution of that day. But the way continues moving forward. And the way of God always calls us to righteousness and holiness in Christ Jesus. It doesn't get stymied at some point in history. It is a way that progresses and applies to every generation, every moment in time, in our lives, as we walk with the Lord. I fear if we get caught up on what used to be, that we may be losing, that we might lose sight of the way. I don't want anybody to ever listen to what I'm saying. And again, that was one of my mother's, it was very important to her that Bobby socks. And she had this litany of reasoning in her mind. You know, there was the Bobbies. The Bobbies, you know who the Bobbies were? Those were the ones back in the 20s that began to bob their hair. And the Bobby socks. And it's all... I'm just telling you, I agree with the caution that was being talked about back then. I agree with that. But folks, the principle of what the Lord wants to do in our heart goes way beyond some point of fame back there. This is an up-to-date way. This is a way that you and I can safely follow the Lord in 2025, in July of 2025. We can wake up and simply go to the Lord with the joy in our heart and say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness today for your name's sake. I want to walk with you. Express yourself through my life, Lord. I love you and I want. I'm not bound here out of fear, out of legal reasonings. And by saying that, I'm not trying to throw away good sound reasoning when I look into the Scripture. I want to balance this in our minds. But there are sometimes the devil can get us so focused on a legal point that I lose sight of walking today with my Lord. There's a same right way. There's a way that may seem, surely I'm right if I can get all the doctrinal points honed finally to the point that I understand every fine point and I've sharpened it to such a fine edge that there's no ambiguity at all and everybody's got to see it just like I do. Be careful. Be careful, please. Because I think the devil would like to get us so... How do I describe it? So carnally fixed on a point that we lose sight of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God really wants to know us and wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk with Him. And while we as ministers, we can look at things and say and feel anxious. And there sometimes I do feel anxious about things. But the only one who can really answer the need of our souls is Christ. Walking with Him. If you did something just because I told you to, I don't have grace to give that to help you live it. I don't have that grace. But when the Lord comes by and sweetly sits down beside you and opens His way, His understanding to our mind and convinces us that this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, there's a flood of grace. There's a flood of joy goes to our heart to say, Amen, Lord. I love you and I want to do what pleases you. And it's not in His ways. His commandments are not grievous. They've lost all that oppressive feeling because we are walking with the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is to this companionship, this joy of knowing our Lord overshadows all the rest. All right. Over in Psalms, the 119th Psalm, first verse, it says, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Who walk. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who put one step in front of the other in a direction of the way. Blessed are those, the undefiled, those who come into this way and is not looking for the first exit to leave it. Who loves this way, who wants to serve the Lord, who is enjoying the communion with our Lord. Blessed is that one. the undefiled in the way, who walks in the law of the Lord, who puts one step in front of the other. And I will remind us all here today, I've lived for the Lord now for a number of years. Looking back, I'm amazed at how many years I've lived for Him. I can count a number of them all. I've lived for the Lord more years than many of you are alive, have been alive. I'm not saying that braggingly at all, except I want to tell you that I've lived for Him long enough to be humbled by the fact that I know every day I need my Lord. I have learned over the years that we progress in different areas at different rates. As a body, we do as people, as individuals. And it's not my job to make sure you're always in step right. It is my job to encourage you to serve the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart. To love Him with everything you know how. It is my job to do that. It's God's job to... And I'll back up and say it this way. It's our job as individuals to give ourselves so wholly to the Lord that He can whisper lovingly and gently to our hearts and convince us of what's right. It'll always line up with the Scripture. We've got, this is the baseline. But this baseline, I have read this Scripture and I don't know any place that it says anything about the internet or cell phones or even cars. It doesn't say anything here about that. Except for this. In the Old Testament, it talked about the horses that had bells on it. Remember that? And the bells, it said, holiness, cry, holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. As they went down the way. That needs to be on your cell phone. Needs to be on your internet. Needs to be on the things we consume in our mind that I listen to. That I feed my soul on. The attitudes that I allow my spirit to go down. That path, that we're all walking a path and we're going toward. We're going to point our feet the direction that I want to go. My mind will be headed that way. If I'm cultivating, I think Sister Marcia was talking about forgiveness this morning in the Sunday school class. We can carry something in our bosom and feed it and nurture it and make it our pet. And we can feed that little bad attitude, that little unforgiveness, that root of bitterness, those things that can build up within the human mind. And we can excuse it and have our special excuse that we have, that surely I have a right to feel this way. Be careful, be careful. We really don't have a right to let the devil own a part of our heart. We don't. Now the Lord in His mercy, because we're human, He'll see us sometimes wrestling in our spirit, in our life. We're wanting to follow the Lord, and He sees us wrestling with some of these difficult places we come to. What do I do here? What do I do with this feeling? What do I do with this decision I need to make in life? And He sees us wrestling with those things. And sometimes we start taking the long route. I'll give you a little example. One time I was headed over to Gale, Illinois. I was having a meeting over there. I was going to be there for a little bit with them. And I was tooling along down the right road. And I just thought I was still there. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm in the middle of, was it Poplar Bluff? I believe. I didn't think this road went through this town. And then I realized that I was taking the long route. I wasn't on the most direct route. I had to correct it. I want to use that as an example for some of our spiritual walk. As we're walking with the Lord, sometimes without being attentive as we could have been and probably should have been, we somehow miss the sign that says, caution, or this is the way, walk ye in it. Sometimes we miss that. And the Lord in His mercy will awaken us to, son, this is a long way. Turn around. He might even say, son, this is the wrong way. Turn around. Get there a whole lot better, a lot more direct, a lot less trouble if you turn loose of that old bitter feeling, that unrighteousness, that little bit of anger that's starting to boil within your bosom, or that whatever it is that we are wrestling with. The Lord in His mercy, He chastens those whom He loves. Why is He chastening us? Because we need it. We need correction. The Lord in His mercy will do that. Blessed is the one who's undefiled in the way, walks in the law of the Lord, who's willing to walk after the things of the Lord. Isaiah 35, in the Old Testament, you see, this is the psalmist in the 119th Psalm was talking about that. There's many other examples I could have written down. I didn't, but the Old Testament is full of counsel to direct us in the way. Prophecy of Isaiah here, looking down across the annals of time, looking toward the day that you and I enjoy now today. And he said, in a highway, Isaiah 35 and 8, and in a highway shall be there. Well, this term highway was used here before we had four-lane roads here. We say a highway is a paved thoroughfare that goes. But this way he's talking about is a built-up way. It's elevated above all these other seem right ways. These ways that seem good to me that may not be right. This way, a highway, this means there will be a cast up, an elevated way above our carnal thinking, above the excuses of mankind, above the seem rights, above the way that everybody else might be taking, and quite frankly, the world in general is taking a way that's a broad way, easily found, easily taken. But there's one above all that. And it's not one that I've made, nor D.S. Warner, nor John Wesley, nor Martin Luther, or anyone else throughout history that people elevate and reverence. There's a way that Jesus Himself made. There's a way above it all. I'm not interested in naming this group of people after anyone but our Lord. You know, when a wife turns, when a young lady is captivated by the heart of the wooings of a young man, and he's a good man of character, and he says, would you be my wife from now on? I want you to be my wife. And she says yes, almost always anymore. She takes his name. We're the bride of Christ. And I'm not ashamed at all to be saying I'm part of God's church. Part of God's church, the church of God. I want to take his name more than just words that are spoken to the air. I want it to be in reality. That I am a child of God. Of the God of heaven. And a highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. There has been a trend throughout Christendom that would almost shy away from the idea of holiness. And why? I just say, why? Because it's in the Scripture. Why would we shy away from that? Is it proper for us to recognize the wrestling of humans as we learn to walk in this way, as we step by step grow in the graces of the Lord? It's not wrong for us to accept, to recognize that. At the same time, we're saying holiness unto the Lord. Quite frankly, every step that we should take should say holiness unto the Lord. I want to follow you, Lord. Does that mean every step that I take is always exactly perfect? We acknowledge that there's different times as we're walking with the Lord that the Lord corrects us and He reveals to us that we need to turn. We need to adjust the steps that we're taking. That doesn't mean we've sinned or have consciously rebelled against God. That's not what this is talking about. Not what I'm talking about this morning. But I'm talking about a walk with the Lord, that the Lord still works with us in our humanity and brings us in this way, this highway, this way of Christ shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And I want to preach to us part of this morning, a way of holiness, of righteousness, of godliness, not giving over to sin. Don't have to. This is the way. And it bothers me. It just does. If I've had some fellow, I believe they're Christians, they claim to be, and they want to serve the Lord. I had some good conversations with some of them, and I accept their testimony. But it bothers me when I hear them every once in a while in their conversation say, but we're all sinners. I like to say, we all used to be. We don't have to be anymore. Because there is a way. There is a way. There is grace. There is something that God Himself has provided for you and I. It bothers me if we identify with failure. I shouldn't say that, well, I've just got to be a slave to my old master. I want to encourage us today, recognize and acknowledge places that we need to move up and grow in grace. We can do that at the same time and say, Lord, my life, I want it to be holiness unto the Lord. And not admit that I must be under failure all my life long. God's got something better for us today. A highway shall be there, and a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. I believe the song that was sung just before the message this morning had it in there, something about that we're passing through this life, but we're going. Well, I got out of that song, and I'll put it in my words now. Something about we're just like strangers and pilgrims here in this life. We're not. This world is not my home. The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Men, and I hope today, dear ones, that we don't have our identity and our hearts set on living here in this world forever, because I don't believe that. This isn't. We're wayfaring. We're just going through this life. Wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. We don't need to come to confusion of mind and error to the point that we just throw up our hands and say, I don't know. No, God wants to nurture our soul and lead us in a plain path. A fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Are you the redeemed this morning? I believe. Amen. Me too. I want to walk there with you. I want to walk together on this way of holiness, this way of righteousness. The redeemed shall walk there in this pathway of the just. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sounds like this place. be careful. Let's not put that off in the future. Let's bring it down to where we are today. God wants us to return to a dwelling place, the Zion where God has put His name, the place where God Himself is dwelling amongst people that love and serve Him. God's here this morning. Return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Well, we can also say, well, but I'm sad. Yes, but we're talking about a spiritual place here. It's okay for us to miss our loved ones. The Lord made us that way. It's okay for us to experience some of those things in life. But there is a satisfaction in my soul that transcends and goes beyond all the sadness that we have. And there's a joy, there's a peace that abides, that goes beyond all that. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. One of the beautiful things that I've enjoyed is walking with the Lord. I suppose I'm like you, that there are times you meet things that we don't know hardly what to do. Don't know exactly what decision to make. Sometimes morally, we don't know exactly which way to head. And I have found nearly all the time when I can get alone out by myself somewhere. And since I grew up as a farm boy, wasn't until just recent times that I've moved where I don't have that walk out in the pasture. But many times I've just taken off and been out there, just me and the Lord. And I found when I get out there and get away and scrape out everything else out of my mind and just sit there and talk with the Lord. As many times I've talked with Him with my eyes wide open and just walking down a path. I've talked with Him and I found answers there in communing with the Lord that satisfied my soul, that answered questions to my mind of how I should handle things or what direction I need to go in this situation. Folks, I want to recommend that way. I want to recommend getting alone with the Lord this way that we find in Isaiah the 30th chapter, 19th verse, and we'll start reading there. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. He shall be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy crying. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. There's nothing sweeter when we're in a place of almost confusion and anxiousness in our soul, and not knowing what to do. There's nothing sweeter than to hear that still small voice saying, this is a way. Walk you in it. It clears up things in our soul. It clears up things in our mind. It doesn't mean that the situation always goes away, but there's a peace that comes along with that voice right there behind you saying, almost like He leans up over our shoulder and whispers in our ear and says, this is the way. Son, you got it right. This is the direction. He may even point over our shoulder and point forward and say, this is the way. Keep on going that way, son. Right now, you feel got bread of affliction. Is that what it said here? Though the Lord give thee the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Sometimes that's life, isn't it? We have those places where it's not always pleasant. You know, if I was going to tell you today, just come and get saved and your life will be absolutely rosy and you're going to have a $120,000 annual income and Everybody, I believe, if that would happen, we could fill this chapel and build on. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about teaching us how to live in this life in a way that is righteous and godly. In a way that our souls aren't oppressed by evil and wrong. That honesty is a part of the very character that God has established in our soul. That love and all its influence is enthroned in our heart. That love and the strength in the power of its effect in my life. Love that tells me to go on when I'm tired. Love that compels me to obey Him out of the joy of my heart. That does away with the oppression that the devil would like to try to say that's too hard. You know, sang a song a while ago. The devil whispered there, thy gain will not repay a loss. His yoke is hard to bear. Love overwhelms that and says, no, I know different. I found my Lord, and He is mine. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, or when you turn to the left, when you're in that way of decision, when you're in that crossroads, that time, which way do I go, Lord? Well, we have a wonderful privilege of standing there and communing with our Lord until we hear that whisper and the hand over our shoulders pointing, this is the way. This is the way. Oh, walk ye in it. And when He says it, folks, there's so much joy. There's so much satisfaction. There's so much. The confusion is wiped away. This is the way. You see, we're talking again about this way of holiness, about this way of walking with the Lord today. There's questions you'll face and how to apply holiness and the different particular areas of your life. And I don't want to be the one you look to and say, what must I do? If I need to, I'll give counsel. But I'll probably tell you kind of like what my old pastor told me one time when I was asking, giving him the right. I said, would you, if you see me going down a path that's wrong, would you come and tell me? Just correct me. I had so much confidence in him. He is a wonderful man of God, Brother Clifford Wilson. And I told him, I said, if you see me going down the wrong way, please come and tell me. And I remember the look on his face. He kind of had this little grin a little bit. He looked at me and then he bowed his head and he said, oh, I'll probably tell the Father. You know what that meant? I'll be praying for you. I'll be watching you. But I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. You see, I want you to explore. I want you, how should I say it differently then? I want you to discover. That's what I want to say. I want you to discover this way with the voice of the Lord whispering in your ear. Because we're going to be places in life that nobody else is there. The pastor's not there. Family's not there. Nobody's looking over our shoulder except the love that I have in my heart for my Lord. And I hear Him saying, this is the way. I hear and feel His presence. And that's what we need. We need that type of a grace. Not a force. You know, if I built the barriers or built the fences in your life, if I said, you can't do this, if had an incident one time where a young man was wrestling with things that he was seeing on his phone. And he said, will you take my phone? I said, I will for a little bit. I said, but this isn't the long-term answer. Long-term answer is for us to get that grace from the Lord. If I built the fences in your life, the barriers, the walls that of protection, if I built that, if I said, no, you can't do that, there's going to be a day you won't like me for telling you that. But when the Lord comes and says, don't do this, it's a totally different motivation. And from the joy of our heart, we recognize where that voice came from and the loving impulse behind it. And it's so much better. I can preach to you about Bobby socks and white wall tires this morning, and you'll go away laughing after a while. But if I preach to you about knowing Christ and knowing Him and walking with Him and letting His voice ring in your ears, you're going to walk away with a different feeling in your soul. Don't lean. Don't make your boundaries according to me, because I might have some that's wrong for you. But what God gives you will always be right. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And then apply that divine love to your fellow man. Love him as yourself too. That answers a whole lot of things in life. I want to try to balance what I'm trying to say this morning. I'm not here to try to tear down standards that the saints have always held. I'm not here to do that. But I'm here to show the reason why we hold these standards. It comes from God. And if it doesn't come from God, be careful with it. Be careful with it. It's got to come from our Lord. Acts, the 11th chapter. This has to do with people at Antioch. There were people there who weren't Jews. The gospel came down to them and began to be preached. This was before Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. This was when he was still even being known as Saul. But there were, I forget the names now, of those who came down there to Antioch and began to preach Christ Jesus to them. And they began to believe. And here, Acts 11th chapter in the 21st verse, I'm going to pick up the thought. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings, 22nd verse. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, I believe it thrilled his soul to see others who weren't Jews who were grasping the truth of Jesus Christ. He saw the grace of God being extended more than just the chosen lineage of the Jewish nation. When he saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should stay away from white wall tires and bobby socks. Read that. He was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Cleaving unto the Lord will express itself in things we wear and places we do, places we go, and the things we do. It will express itself that way. But here's where we got to get it from the fountainhead itself. They should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. This is what he told them. He taught them. He rejoiced that their hearts have been opened, the grace of God had been revealed to them, and salvation through Jesus Christ had come to them, and he rejoiced. He came and when he had seen the grace, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. 25th verse. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. This is Saul of Tarsus. This is who we later knew as Paul. Paul at some point had went on back to Tarsus and was there. I don't think he was just twiddling his thumbs or not caring about life. I think he was listening to the voice. He was in the way. He was listening to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord was revealing truths to him. And later on he said the abundance of revelation that the Lord had given him. Why? Because his heart was centered. His mind was thinking on these new ideas that the Lord had revealed to his heart out of the Scripture. That's what Isaiah meant. That's what those Old Testament prophets, that's what they were meaning. They were talking about this our day, this Jesus Christ. And he was there in Tarsus. And here comes Barnabas. Barnabas departed to go to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I like to think about the scene we have here. Barnabas, this man who had this great heart of love and passion for the things of the Lord. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a good man. He rejoiced. He didn't have any prejudices, did he? He could have went, if he would have been an old type of a Jew like Paul was at one point, or Saul was at one point, he would have said, no, they can't go to the Gentiles. No, this is ours. This doesn't go up. Barnabas was glad when he saw these other Gentile nations. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So this Barnabas went and he sought Saul of Tarsus. I wondered what the story would have been. I don't know. Perhaps Paul would have still moved on out into the work of the Lord anyway. But we know this, that Barnabas went and found Saul and brought him back to Antioch. And here at Antioch, they tarried instructing, encouraging people, these Gentiles that were here at Antioch. Antioch was a very eclectic, had a lot of different influences that was at Antioch. There was the Hellenistic Greek influences, and there was the Roman influences, and there was just different influences there, different religious backgrounds. Jews were there, and all that was there, and in that environment they came, loving people, expressing Christ in the way, teaching them the way. And disciples there were first called Christians. I think they were first called Christians there actually out of a term of almost derision. It wasn't, but we own it today, don't we? I'm glad to be called a Christian today. All right, I want to move quickly over here. Quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, in the first verse, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that you have received of us how you ought to walk, again, walking, going in this path, this highway of the just, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. I want you to do that. Follow in this path more and more, this growth in Christ. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. When I say this term, when this sanctification has to do with being set apart for the Lord. For it is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. This soul that we have, this life that God has given us to live, that it might be possessed, not by my old carnal self, but by the influences of our great God in heaven, that every one of you should know how to possess, how to own, how to not, what was it Paul said, I bring my body under. He didn't allow it to be possessed by other forces. To know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness. This way of holiness is what He's called us to, this way of righteousness. He's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He, therefore, that despiseth not man, but God. If you don't like that, if we say, we don't like what you're saying there, that God calls us to holiness, you're not despising man, but you're despising what God has said. But God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit, the Lord has provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I don't want, because time is gone, I don't want to spend a lot of time commenting about these verses, but I want to let them stand. I believe the Lord has given us of his Spirit, the Lord has given us of his presence, this old spirit of ours that tends toward ungodliness. That's what we should crucify and turn from and be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I'll quickly now move on to the last part. There's another verse there in James, but I'm not going to go over that. I'm going to go to this last one. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, of two ways. He said there's a way that's broad, and then there's a way that's narrow. Matthew 7 and 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's our decision. That's our responsibility. As we're walking in this way, let's be tender-hearted, easily entreated by the Lord. Let's cultivate a hunger for righteousness. Let's cultivate a passion for doing it right. Enter ye in at the straight gate. There's a pressing. There's a straight. There is a place that you and I press into. For enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's real easy to go in the popular way. It's real easy to get the wrong way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Just follow your own passions. Just please yourself, and you'll find yourself on a way of destruction. I don't want to say it any more gently than that, because it's a truth. The way of destruction is one that pleases the old carnal self. And Jesus says for us to enter in at the straight gate. Don't go this seem right way. Don't go this other way that is a distraction and actually puffs up the old carnal man. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is a way which leads to life. It leads to life. So I want to encourage us here at the close of this message, in this way that the Lord has laid out before us, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Press to enter in. We can, we should. Don't discount
And don't say, well, the Lord will just put me there if I'm supposed to be there. No, the Lord wants us. Jesus is the one that said this, to strive, to press, to push against all these. Go in this narrow way. Because if we don't, we're going to find another way. Now this gate that the Lord would have us go in is a narrow one. It's one of not just pleasing myself. This gate is a narrow way which leads where? To life. And a few there be that find it. I want to be one of those few. Pray for me.